Well, we're back once again with the Word of God. And we want to take just a few minutes today to read a scripture from the 15th chapter of the book of St. Luke, beginning at the 11th verse. And he said, "A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." You know, most people are familiar with the reading of the scripture here concerning the prodigal, and how that the prodigal son came to the father one day and demanded of the father his substance, and went his way into a strange country. And we remember how that the scripture tells us that there he wasted his substance with riotous living. You know, it was customary with the Jewish people that when the son reached a certain age, that they had what they called the bar mitzvah. And that as the son come to a certain place, he was eligible for an inheritance. And the Bible tells us that such thing took place here in the life of this son. The father having two sons that he dearly loved. And there came a day when one of these sons said to his father, "Father, I'm of age, and I want to go my own way. I want to do whatever I'm to do in life." You know, a lot of times we refer to it as doing our thing in life. And the son said to the father, "Father, give me of those goods that belong to me. Whatever is mine, I'd like to have it, because I'd like to get out on my own." You know, sons say that so often. You know, the son grows up, he wants to get out on his own. He wants his own family, wants to make his own way. But so many times, the son learns to his sorrow that life is not at all the way that he thought that it was. And that life is not as easy as it seemed to be while he was at home with mom and dad. So then a lot of times he runs into heartaches, runs into a lot of problems. And then many times he has to go back to mom and dad to ask for a helping hand. I know I had to do that during my lifetime. But, you know, eventually we learn that there is a right way in life and there is a wrong way. That there is a systematic way in life, and that systematic way is God's way. And no matter what other way you might try, you'll eventually learn that God's way is the right way. And you'll learn that that's the only way. You know, it takes a lot of time, takes a long, long time for us to really come to the realization that God's way is the right way. We might do a lot of things through life that seems to be successful, and we might be getting along real good, but one day sickness will show up in our body. One day oppression and poverty will begin to show up in our lives. One day we'll find that we're not happy with all the things perhaps that we've attained unto in life. You know, men struggle for possessions and they struggle for education and they call it getting ahead. That's what they feel. You know that they are getting ahead. But too late sometimes, and I say to their own sorrow, they learn that rather than getting ahead, they actually are running behind. They find out that the thing that was so interesting to them, that absorbed their time, absorbed their life, actually took them away from the reality of life and the great things of life and the things that they could have had they trusted in God and walked in the ways of the Lord. You know, His way is the best way. I'm so glad that I learned about Jesus. I'm so glad that I learned that His way is the best way. Because I had many ideas during my lifetime, many ambitions during my lifetime, but I've traded them all for Christ's way. Because I found out that that's the right way. So then we see here that this son, he had ideas, ambitions, and he wanted to do something on his own. The Bible said that he took his substance, his father gave to him, and he went away into a far country. It wasn't long before he found himself far away from home. And then the Bible said that during this time that he spent all of his living with riotous living. Everything was gone. All of his substance he had squandered away. And the Bible tells us that about the time that he had lost everything and got down into poverty, about that time a great famine set in that country. And there wasn't any food, and there wasn't any means of employment. There wasn't any way to have anything to eat. The Bible said during this time that this son, he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. He began to seek employment. He began to seek for a job, began to seek for a livelihood. And the Bible said he joined himself to a citizen of that country. And when he did, the man sent him out to feed swine. Can you imagine that? Here was a young son that had been a real dignitary in life. And all of a sudden, he finds himself in poverty and shame, and he finds himself in such condition that a man sends him out to feed swine. The Bible said as the young man went on his way to carry out his duties for his livelihood, as he went out, he began to think. You know, it's sad to learn, you know, that people have to get down into poverty. They have to go way down in poverty, or they have to get down on a sick bed, or they have to get down in shame and lose their reputation and their name and everything before they'll come to their senses. That's sad, isn't it? Why is it that people have to do that? Why is it that they don't just realize that there's a right way and a wrong way and choose the right way, which is God's way, but they won't do it? We all usually have to go through the same path, through the same sufferings, through the same heartaches. And so it was the son began to think. He had gotten down in shame. He'd lost his reputation. He'd lost his substance. He didn't have anything left. And then all of a sudden he began to think, here am I, way off into a strange country. And my father's servants back at home, there they have plenty of bread. Just the servants have bread to spare. And here I am in poverty. And here I am away from home to where my father cannot help me, cannot reach me. And here I am feeding swine. You know, there's people that one time was in good shape with God. Did you know that? There's people that one time they had something from God. There was at one time in their life they were filled with the Spirit of God. And they had a testimony that could cut deep into the soul of mankind. One time they were as a jewel in the sight of God, radiant in God's sight, but a little worldliness, a little fashions of life, just a few interruptions, just a little thirst and a little hunger to see what the other side of life was like. And just a little bit of evil communications. You know, the Bible tells us that evil communications corrupt good manners. Isn't that right? Just a little evil communication. And after a while, they found themselves drifting too far away from God. That's sad. But that's the way it happens. You're getting along real good. The prodigal here that's spoken of, at one time he wasn't a prodigal. At one time he had plenty. At one time he had bread to spare. There in his father's house. But see, look where he had gotten to. There's people that were so precious to God. There were people that had astounding testimonies. Even today, there's many people that are like that. They have in their lifetime done great things for God, but they couldn't be contented with the simple way of salvation. You know, this is the most beautiful thing in all of the world. There is nothing like unto salvation. There is nothing like serving Jesus. I don't find anything as exciting as serving the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing that touches my soul, that sets me on fire the way that God does, to feel His Spirit and His blessings. Oh, how wonderful, how glorious to feel as I feel even now. And so often, I feel the wonderful Holy Spirit, the precious Holy Ghost of God, deep down inside of me, just bubbling and bubbling as a spring. And like David said, my cup just runs over. Hallelujah. I feel the presence of God so many times. I feel His healing touch. So often I feel the lovely virtue of Jesus, the wonderful healing of God just flowing through my soul. Many people have been such great instruments in the hand of God, but like Samson, they got too close to Delilah. Like the prodigal son, they drifted away, and they found too much fellowship with the world. Christianity became kind of boring to them. You know, when a person doesn't have a vision for God, it'll always work that way. When people don't have a vision for God, let your vision begin to dim just a little bit. Let your light begin to go out just a little bit. And all of a sudden you'll find out it works just exactly that way. You'll find that you lose interest in the things of God. But oh, let me tell you something, friend. If you really get a vision for Christ, if you really do something for God, if you ever see the glory of God, the way that God has shown it to me, you'll never want to go back there into the worldly things. You'll never want to go back to the other side of life, because this is so wonderful. It's so glorious. And to know that it provides eternal life. It provides for you not only securities and benefits of this life, great and wonderful things in this life, but it provides for you eternal securities and eternal life just over the river. So then, it is so wonderful to realize the benefits of God. Here the prodigal began to think. He began to think. There are some people that's doing some thinking today. They've gotten too far away from God, and they've gotten way out there away from the Father's house, and they feel empty now. Satan has stripped them down, took everything that they have. And like the man that fell among the thieves, they've been stripped of their royal garments, and everything has been taken away. And they've fallen into the ditch. You know, the Bible said that the whore is a great ditch. And they that are abhorred of God shall fall therein. And they've fallen into the ditch, the old carnal way of doing things, the old corruptible way of life. And they've fallen into the ditch, and no one's there to help them. Like the prodigal. They're bruised, they're wounded, they've been hurt. But God is trying to do something to pick them up. The prodigal had plenty of time to think. And there he was as he began to feed the swine. And he began to think, servants in my Father's house. My, I know what I'll do. I'll not continue to feed swine. I'll not continue just to stay around here and fill my belly with the husk of the swine. I'm not going to do that. I'm ashamed, and it's hard for me to face the situation that's before me. But I've come to my senses, and I know that I've done wrong. And I'm going to my Father's house. And I'm just going to fall down before him, and I'm going to say, Father, I've sinned against God, and I've sinned against you, and I've done wrong. But I want you to forgive me. And Father, I'm not worthy to be called your son. I'm not asking you to make me a son or to acknowledge me as your son anymore. But Father, let me be a servant. Oh, just let me be a servant. You've got enough food here that the servants have food to spare. I've been out there. But Father, just make me a servant. The Bible said he arose from the place that he was, and he started the long journey home. It's hard sometimes to come back to the place that you've left. Isn't that right? It's hard to get back. See, it's hard to face the shame. The Bible said Jesus endured the shame. He endured the cross, despising the shame thereof. But for the joy that was set before him, he took that way. And it's hard sometimes to rise up from where you're at. It's hard to get a vision. It's hard to get a hold of yourself when you feel so empty, feel so dirty, feel so cast down, feel so forsaken, and feel that you've done wrong and mistreated everybody. See, but when you get up, start the journey back, you'll feel God giving you a helping hand. You'll feel a tender hand of kindness begin to reach out. And all of a sudden, you'll feel strength like you've never felt before. And you'll feel that invisible hand that God has given to guide you. And it'll reach out there and it'll take hold of you. And it'll lift you up. And like the man that was at the gate called Beautiful, when Peter prayed the prayer of faith, the Bible said that he felt strength in his ankle bones and he stood up immediately because he felt strength. When you get up from where you're at and begin to acknowledge God and start the journey back home, then God will do something for you. And as the sun began to move, the prodigal was returning. As he began to move, he felt courage and he felt strength and he began to go on his way. And so it was that as he approached the home place, the Bible said as he drew near to it, that he, being so cast down, planning just to become a servant to his father, all of a sudden he saw the Father, and the Father saw the Son. Oh, hallelujah. What a time that must have been. The Father, who had not seen the Son in so long. Oh, friend, listen. How long have you been hiding from God? How long have you been away from the Father's house? How long have you been out there in those unclean places? God, just one glimpse of you. Iniquity having separated you from the sight of God. God said, Adam, where art thou? Eve, where are you? They had brought the iron curtain between them and God, the curtain of iniquity. And God couldn't see beyond that. God cannot look on iniquity. God is looking today, hoping today, to see you break through that dense fog, hoping that you'll just break through, that he can catch one glimpse of you. And you're on the other side and Satan's lying to you and telling you that God doesn't want you and God doesn't love you. But friend, if he could just catch one glimpse of you, oh, how wonderful it would be. Jesus said one time, I've engraved thee upon the palms of my hand by way of remembrance that I should never forget thee. Having put the nails in his hands, he'll never forget you. And you know, when the Father saw the prodigal and the prodigal saw the Father, all the tears began to stream. And one began to grab the other and embrace the other. And while the prodigal was confessing and saying, I'm sorry. Oh, Father, I'm so sorry. Forgive me for what I've done. The father couldn't hear a word of it. His arms wrapped around the prodigal. He wasn't listening to anything the prodigal said. He was so happy to see his son and to realize that that son that had been lost was now found. And while the son was saying, Father, make me a servant, I'm not worthy to be called a son. He was saying, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and come and put a ring on the finger of my son, and put some shoes on his feet, and go get the fatted calf and kill him and prepare a great feast. We're going to have a wonderful time because my son that was lost, he is found. He is found. You know, that's the way God feels about you. That's the way God feels about you. God wants to prepare a great feast. God wants to make merry. And the Bible said that God will leave the 99 that's safe to go look for the stray. Because God loves you and God is concerned about you. And you that are hid from God's sight, that's drifted away, why don't you get up from there? Why don't you get out of the hog pens of the world? You know, Jesus one time referred to people that would not serve God, that rejected God. He said, the swine shall go back to her wallowing in the mire, and the dog shall return to his vomit. Why be with the swines when you are a royal priesthood, when you are a chosen generation, when you are sons and daughters of God? Why stay with the world? Why perish when all you've got to do is get up and go to the Father's house and join once again with the royal family and be part of that great, wonderful way of life that God has prepared for you. Friend, today is your opportunity. It's going to be too late. It won't be long. It'll be too late. It's going to be too late before much longer. But now's the opportunity. Now's the time. Today is the day of salvation. And I invite you to come. The Spirit is saying, come. The bridegroom is saying, come. And the Bible said, let whosoever will come, him that is without money, let him come. Let him partake of this water freely. For this is freely given to all people. And the Bible teaches that if you will come, he that will draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to him. If you forsake your iniquities, the Bible said, confess your sins, and then forsake your sins. Don't just confess them, that's no good. But confess your sins and then forsake your sins, and God will give you eternal life. That's the Bible. That's the Scripture. That's what it says. Confess them and then forsake them, and God will give you eternal life. So we invite you to come to God. I want to pray for you. Just before we close, we'd like to pray for you. I'd like to ask God, as always, to do something for you. If you are having problems in your body, the Lord wants to heal you. God wants to do something for you. If you've got financial problems, the Bible teaches God will meet all your needs. And if you're having any kind of problems whatsoever, other than that, God wants to do away with your problems and help you. We want to pray for you. Let's pray together. Father of heaven, as we pray together, Lord, everyone that can hear or see, Father, today, Lord, as we speak, Lord, the words of eternal life to them. May they receive, O God, may the Spirit of the Lord that I felt here, Hora Marshaya, as I feel your presence, Jesus, may your glory, oh hallelujah. Father, may the great, wonderful Spirit of the living God, the mighty Holy Ghost that I feel right now, may this mighty Spirit, oh God, go out to the audience and may they be healed, oh God. May they be healed. May thy Spirit, may thy blessings go out to them. And Lord, whatever there is lacking in their heart, Lord, in their lives, whatever it might be, O God of heaven, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you will heal. May this wonderful overflowing well of living water that I feel bubbling up within my soul, Father, may it go even unto those that are thirsty, and may they drink from the waters of the wells of the waters of salvation. I ask you to do it, Holy Father, forgive their sins, save them, heal them, supply their needs in Jesus' name. Praise God. May God bless you is our prayer. We're always praying for you. It's not just here on the program that we pray for you, but we pray for you. You know, we pray for you at night when you're in your bed asleep. We are praying for you. And we would also like to say that we're getting a real good response from our TV audience. God is blessing us and people are writing. And we encourage you to write us. Write us a letter. It doesn't take a lot of time, you know, to write a letter. That's encouraging to us. And that lets us know your need. And that gives us a chance here to pray with you. The brothers and sisters here pray and fast. As a matter of fact, they've just come off of a number of days of fasting, just ended a number of days of fasting and supplication for the people. So you write us, and we'll pray over your request, and God will do something for you. God bless you till we see you again.